Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're joined today by our producer, Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Bad Bob should be calling in.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. We'll see.
I have a list here.
Good morning there, Soul.
Well, good morning.
It's still my turn. Good morning.
It is. I stepped right on your... What did I step on?
On my...
Finger?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up today?
Nothing. I mean, we compiled a list. It's interesting. It's about the tech things. We'll get back to that in a minute, probably after Bob calls, about what's on the horizon for the newest in tech stuff, and I'm going to tell you what's out. But here's something that has disturbed us. We talked about this some time ago, about a year ago. Can I just open with this?
You know what? I have no idea, but...
I know. That's the whole thing. It's about the 2010 census. That's happening.
Okay, what about it?
Well, I mean, I feel somewhat, I don't like somebody coming to my door and asking me questions that I feel are personal. I feel violated. Get out of my front door. I didn't invite you.
Well, what they do is they send a questionnaire to you, and then you fill that out. And it's only if you don't fill out all the questions that they come back.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
And sometimes they do come to your house. That's true.
They've
already come to our house once and put the GPS coordinates of our house in there.
That's true.
In 2000, I filled out that form, and a month and a half later, I had some guy at my door asking me the very same questions, and I said, I've already filled out your form. I'm not answering questions. And he wouldn't leave my front porch. He stood there outside the door for 5 minutes.
Okay, now there is scams going around.
Okay,
this
that's exactly...
This is important.
This is what I wanted to talk about. This is an email that was sent to me. If a U.S. Census worker knocks on your door, they will have a badge, a handheld device, a Census Bureau canvas bag, a confidentiality notice, ask to see their identification and their badge before answering their questions. However, you should never invite anyone you don't know into your home. Of course, we know that. But... Of course, census workers are currently knocking on people's doors to verify address information and so on and so forth. But just beware that there are some scam and con artists. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention about, pay attention to this. Ask your information.
You shouldn't give out your Social Security number to them, I believe. And never anything about your banking. No banking information.
Even if they say they need it for the U.S. Census, that's a bunch of, BS.
Well, if they've got illegals in here without, that they're counting without Social Security numbers, I guess they can count me. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, after saying all that, is that we do need to get a good count, because, especially of the veterans, because that helps the veterans receive their fair amount from the Veterans Administration to keep the clinics open, and to provide the services that these veterans have earned over the years. So completely ignoring it is wrong. However, we did get something, and after we take the break, and I have to run off to the desk to get it, somebody handed me something about, he got this from the Department of Census, and it came from Department of Commerce, from the census people. And he felt like the questions that were being asked on that were way over the top. And when we come back, I'll read a few of those.
Well, also, don't open any email attachments that are supposedly from the U.S. Census Bureau. Just beware of the fact that the scams are running rampant right now. And although it is important, just, check your stats. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're taking your calls this morning, 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567.
It's currently 40 degrees outside, mostly cloudy. It's going to be a little windy. It'll be a little windy today. High today of 58 degrees. The weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination.
Okay, some of the things were happening last night. You had Merle Haggard was in concert last night, raising money for the new veterans home that's going to be, the groundbreaking is this spring. The money that he was raising yesterday, and he donated his time, by the way, last night, is to make the quality of life better in that home, to be able to put in some things into a recreation room there for our veterans that will be living in that hall. Also, Wally Herger was in town last night. He was at a tea party at the Holiday Inn. And the Congressman Herger was pumping up the troops and saying he continue the fight against a new health care bill that's working its way through Congress. He applauded the Tea Party. He said that people need to organize. They need to get together. They need to get their friends together and become a voice in the government. Well, this is something we've been saying since we've been on the air. You just can't roll over and let the government just keep doing things to you. You were there last night with Mr. Herger. You can give us a call and tell us a little bit more about what he said. You know, people made fun of the Tea Party.
About 450 people were there last night. That
450 people, that's
pretty significant people. Number on a Monday night.
On
thank
Monday
you.
Night. Yeah, and the I'm not sure if that was the last night of Monday Night Football. Could have been. But the thing is that people, whether it's 450 or 200 or 2,000, they have to get together. And they have to get together and make sure their voices are heard. We're going to have, as on our continuing odyssey, to bring the elected officials in front of you. As you know, Friday we're going to have Josh Lowry, who is running for the Shasta County District Attorney's position. And then next week, next Tuesday, we're going to have the current District Attorney of Shasta County, Jerry Benito, will be on.
605-4567. Carlos, were you there last night at the Tea Party? And if so, you know, give us a little window of what happened. What did your neighbor think? How did you feel? Was there more pat on the back and the weather's great and I just love the North State from our congressman, or did you get into the juice?
You know, one of the things that happened the last time that Congressman Herger was here, I don't know if it was the last time, but one of the times was the Burt Stead incident, where Burt Stead, you know, said very tongue-in-cheek he was a proud right-wing terrorist, and that led to so many things. You know, Keith Obermeyer, whatever his name is, making Wally Herger the worst person of the week twice, and I think he made Burt the worst person. I don't know Burt and Congressman Herger, and having Keith Olbermann say you're the worst person of the week, maybe that's just like a new medal to wear in your chest. We got this thing from the Department of Commerce, Economics and Statistics Administration of the U.S. Census Bureau. One of our listeners came up to us and handed this thing to me, and he said he really feels this goes too far. You know, some of the questions in here as you're going through, it just talks about the number of people staying and living in the home you're at. Just as some of the questions, you know, and it goes, if there are more than five people living or staying here, print their names and the spaces, goes all the way down to 12. It wants to talk about the kind of building it is, how people are related. It talks about in the last month, what was the cost of electricity? What was the cost of gas? What was the cost of water and sewer? Did anybody in the household receive food stamps or food stamp benefits? Condo fees, monthly rent for these. How much do you think it would sell for? Do you or any member have a second mortgage on this property?
What are they? Why would they?
They want to know if anybody's got what the levels of education, if they speak, what types of languages they speak. What are your following types of health insurance or health coverage plans? And then about, does a person have difficulty doing errands alone, such as visiting a doctor's office or shopping? You know, so it talks about how many times a person's been married. How has a person given birth to any children? Have they served in the armed forces?
To me, okay, what? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going through. This is income. How many times do they leave the home?
And boiling.
What's the highest degree or level of school a person? You know, they're talking about the different people in each one. Of course, can we go back to income, Social Security, railroad, supplemental security, interest dividends? These are things they want to know.
Oh, I'm boiling.
People at this address.
No.
They're going through, the different people in there. And then, wages, public assistance, You know, it just goes on and on and on for the people that live in that house. I mean, now, here's my
So the
point.
Government can know, okay, see, Jack has been married three times. She's been pregnant this many times. They've got this kind of education. It's so personal. It's none of their business. Okay, I can understand.
And they want the person's name.
I can understand one thing. Okay. How many people live at this house?
Yeah, but
it's
the
population. You want to know what your population
this
is.
The Department of Commerce. Now, what they've gotten there is they've gotten more information about you than you probably usually give your fiance. You know, my parents don't even know some of those things. You know, it's one thing to be counted, to find out about your education level.
Why?
You know, well, it is. It's
Why?
One thing. Well, it's the census for as far as finding out the education level of people in the country. It's, you know, it would be great to say, are you a citizen of this country, to find that out. It would be fine to find out, you know, there's certain things, but at a point where, you know, they put your name down, and now they've got all this information about you, all the way down to how much money you make, how many times you leave the house.
I don't think it's their business about
your... Something's wrong. Something is not correct
here. I don't think it's their business about your education, your educational level. It's none of their business.
Well, I can understand why they need it.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back.
Got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Hey, we can start it right here. Don't poke me in the eye this time. It's KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, of course, the walk-in humidor, Espresso Joe's with great coffees. You know, on Fridays we have our town hall meeting down there, and they've got a storefront down there that they have converted into a great meeting area for anybody that wants to use it. Some of our local organizations do. It's got Wi-Fi. You can get your coffee over Espresso Joe's, go on in, and it's a pleasant atmosphere. For us on the town hall meetings, we can put, 50, 60, 70 people in there, and you get to talk to your candidate, or the candidate that's running, or the one in office. So, you need to join us on Fridays.
Guess what?
What?
You too can drop off your mattress now for $7 at the county landfill.
County.
That's right. Okay, so for those of you who like yard art, and then we'll go back to the Census Bureau.
Yard art.
For those of you who like yard art and those neighbors who don't like yard art, now for $7, you too can haul your mattress to the county landfill and not worry about just bed frames. They'll take the mattress and the box springs. So more than 440 mattresses and box springs have been recycled. And now they're open for more for the landfill. So why don't you...
Looking for that place to put that old mattress. You know, I don't know if it's a sign of the times. I don't know if just it's like some things. You notice things because the ways of monitoring it have gotten a lot better. But they've had more people arrested in Shasta County from December 24th through Sunday, which I guess was the 3rd. They had 91 people arrested for DUI. And during that period last year, they had 50 people arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. Now, this is suspicion of drunken driving, yet they put your name right there in the paper. You know, it could be what you're just tired, but
okay,
as far as anybody else is concerned, you're DUI.
But can I just say something? Hasn't there been grants? There's been an upsurge of grants. So there's these DUI checkpoints that there are more of those than there have been in the past. Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but they're putting more money into it. But I'm just wondering if just part of what's going on is also what's going on with our society and kind of the feeling of hopelessness or that they're depressed. That a member of the Shasta County Injury Prevention Coalition said that the holiday season's high arrest rate means stepped up enforcement is addressing the problem. This is what you said, that. There are 48 vehicle-related deaths statewide during the Christmas and New Year holidays. And that most of these, almost half the people who died in these wrecks, were not wearing seatbelts. You would think, after all these years, that people would continue to put on that seatbelt. You know, it's that And yet, in so many of the accidents, people get thrown from the vehicle. They get, you know, they end up half in and half out of the car, and the car rolls over on them a few times, which just ruins their day. The people still don't wear their seatbelts. And then they drive drunk. Now, as Roberta has called on several occasions, and rightfully so, is I don't like being just stopped arbitrarily because somebody says stop, and they want to check and see if I'm sober. You know, I've never been stopped at one of the DUI's checkpoints here.
I've never seen one.
So I don't know what they do. I don't know if they, you roll down the window, they talk to you, they ask you how you are, they just kind of like listen, you know, they look at you, see if you've slurred any, your words or anything.
But do not
ask, I don't know, they probably ask for a driver's license. Oh, they don't ask for a driver's license. They just talk to you.
They just give you a breathalyzer?
The two I've been through, you roll down the window and he says, hi sir, have you been drinking? And I said, no. And he goes, and waves yawn. I've heard this from a reliable source. They're profiling. They're looking for the signs that show that you're drunk. And if you're not showing that you're drunk, I even got a sticker one time that said don't drink and drive. But from a reliable source, they're looking
for
signs.
Well, I'm sure they are. You know, it's not like it's as easy as when in that commercial when they drive up and they've got liquid up to almost to the top of the roof of the car, and they roll down the window and the beer comes out and he says, have you been drinking? You know, and the guy comes out with the liquid.
Well, I can just tell you, God forbid, after a night out with the girls, I'm talking about maybe one glass of wine, dinner, but wearing those spectacular 4-inch heels that we all love to go, oh my God, I love your shoes. And then please do not ask us to go out and walk the white line. It ain't going to happen. I mean, if it's going to be judged by that.
Take off the shoes.
Hey, I've got some good news.
Take off the shoes.
I want to change the subject here. Pacific Gas and Electric customers can expect average natural gas bills to be about 9% lower this month than in January 2009.
Because they jacked them up 12% in January and stand by for February.
The average bill this month, oh, come on, let's just have something nice so that when people get up and they hit the floor this morning, they hear something, oh, okay, this is nice. The average bill this month is expected to be around $88.20, down from $97 a year ago, but up from $62 in December. But I want to hear something positive. Anyway, it's time for us to take a break. We're taking your call, 605-4567. Did you go to the tea party last night and hear Herger, or did you go hear the country music legend at the Cascade, Merle Haggard? We'd love to hear from you. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're here in the mornings from 7 to 9. Our guest today, we have a great guest today, Mark Beecham. Mark writes a fantastic blog and now a column. Not business as usual. He'll be in the studios here about another 30 minutes. His latest blog is really interesting. I'm not even going to say anything about it till he comes in. But trust me, your city of Reading has done something again which is hard to explain. I'm sure that when we get one of the city council members on here, they'll be more than happy to explain why we do this. And why Reading has almost taken the lead in the state with this. You know, I would like to continue with great news and good news. However, you know, and today things seem to be changing. And I don't know, a lot of times, you know, they take polls. Do you believe the polls? Do you believe what the polls say? Polls are so much driven by how you ask a question, that you could actually give a yes and a no on the same question by just the way it's asked. I mean, everybody knows that. You know, Rasmussen is getting hammered right now because his polls have shown that President Obama's popularity has dropped dramatically, and that the health care bill is in deep trouble. If you ask, you know, if you listen just to what the people are saying, that I would hope that when people came home, when our elected representatives came home for Christmas and New Year's, that they heard this. I have a feeling, though, that they don't care, that they're on a mission, and they're going to do this. But it says, you know, the latest thing is that U.S. job satisfaction falls to a record low. Even though that, you know, this is for the people that are occupied, which or have an occupation, have a job, they should be happy about that. The lowest level ever recorded by the Conference Board Research Group in more than 22 years. And that's down to, it's only 45% of American workers were satisfied with their jobs in 2009. And some of the reasons are fewer workers consider their jobs to be interesting, incomes have not kept up with inflation, and the soaring cost of health insurance is eaten into their pay. That was, you know, the Record Searchlight. Record Searchlight has a number of items that I like to share with people. How about you? What's your job satisfaction? You know, of course, you know, just starting our new business here in the radio, it's our job satisfaction, as soon as we get a chance to slow down, then we can kind of figure out what it is.
And, of course, the big news, well, there's all kinds of big news across our globe, is the Wind River bought the Lowry Ranch. Yeah, and that's been something since I moved up here, I've been hearing it going to be happening. And they did, I think it was a $70 million expansion they put on hold. And so I'm just wondering what the plans are there. Okay, there could be one positive thing about that is that there's more jobs locally. That's the good news. I had a girlfriend on other news, I had a girlfriend email me something about, illegal immigrants or aliens, and I tell you something, when I saw the statistics about the numbers about Joe legal versus Joe illegal, I kind of felt very blue when I walked through the door today. So I need to lift myself up, and here's some positive news. It's 44 degrees out here. Chances it's supposed to rain tonight, but the news and the weather's been brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. I got to talk about Anselmo Vineyards again. This is a place I feel happy. When I go out to Anselmo Vineyards, I feel happy. I love the drive out there, and we do live in a beautiful place in the North State. So we just have to hang in there together as a community and keep trying to do things that are positive, lift each other up, because what's going on, it feels like it's just like the big flush.
No, it's not. Okay, you know,
do you hear the sound of suckage?
Hey, you're supposed to be the happy one around here. You know, in 2010, those things are going to be changing. And the consumer market's going to change a lot when it comes to electronics and all those little gadgets that we've gotten so used to over the years. For an example, you know, DVDs. DVDs are you know, ubiquitous. They're everywhere. The days, though, of going to a video shop to rent a movie are probably at an end. In September, Blockbuster said it plans to close roughly 22% of its stores by the end of 2010. Meanwhile, their third quarter revenue was down 21% from a year ago, period. Looking ahead, DVD purchases could also drop tremendously. On average, DVDs sell for at least $20 each. That's a lot more costly, a lot more expensive than just signing up for Netflix or renting movies from cable producers on-demand channels. Netflix charges as little as about $9 a month. And you can rent one DVD at a time with no limit to the number of monthly rentals. Time Warner Cable offers thousands of movies on demand for around $5 each. And Verizon Fios cable service charges $5.99 a month to download unlimited movies. So what you're going to see and is that right now to do, you can actually just play a DVD from Netflix to your TV set. You just have to do is run a cable from your computer to your TV, and you can watch any number of flicks they've got to play, you know, instantly. They're not especially the latest ones, but they are a lot. They have thousands you can pick from on Netflix. This is one of the things that we saw a couple of years ago. We were talking to people how this was going to go away. Renting DVDs is going to go away. That even on your TV set, you're going to be able to. Through maybe major cable companies, just be able, besides the premier channels, they have a whole library of DVDs you can just draw down. Now, what else is changing? Landlines and home telephone service. It's going to take a while, but home landlines could be as archaic as a rotary phone. According to a study, more than one in five U.S. homes had cell phones and no landlines. During the first half of 2009, up 10%. And since the cell phone companies have been offering more and more, and they're competing for the greater market share, and they're giving alternatives to the home landline. I don't know if you've ever heard about Magic Jack. We have Magic Jack. It provides phone service when you plug it into your computer's USB port in a home phone. It only costs $39, and that includes 1 year's of 1 year service. Now, every year after that, it's like $19. But here's the thing. If your computer's on, you've got a phone. You turn the computer off, the phone goes off. That's a little known. You know, that's a pretty important fact right there. So you've got to keep your computer on all the time if you want to have 24-hour day service. But I've heard of a lot of people that have just given up the landlines, and they just use their cell phone, and they take their cell phone with them. You know, the questions I have then is, you know, what about faxing? If you've got that, you've got a home office, so you're bound to have some kind of cable in there. External hard drives that we've all used, they're saying those are on the way out, that you can get subscriptions online. Big thing. Newspaper subscriptions. Past few years have been pretty unkind, as you know. In 2008, newspaper advertising declined by 17%. And the average daily circulation at 379 newspapers fell 10%. From April through September. I don't want to throw too many facts and figures out, but what it's saying is the whole way we have of looking at the media is, and the way we're doing things is different. Let's go to the phones. Patty, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good. We're trying to keep up here with it seems like a lot of negative news that's going on in our country. What's up with you?
Well, I was trying to find something to call in to support you guys, and I thought if you wanted a commentary on the whole electronic stuff.
Yeah.
That, because it's information overload, and how do you do it? And, you know, you're going to download Netflix, but how do you get the right equipment to do that? And how do you have the right cord that goes from your box to your TV? Because if you don't have the one that's high-tech enough, you don't get the right signal.
I'm telling you.
Well, you know, in Netflix, you know, even I could figure, you know, I didn't figure it out the first time. It was, you know, it was just a regular USB cable that you plugged into your computer and then into the receiver they had.
Then how do you get it from the computer to your TV?
Okay, it goes from the cable goes from your computer to this receiver, which Netflix, you know, will give you, which you buy. I'm sorry, you buy this, and it's another thing. It costs like $90 to buy this. And then
right, but you have to have your computer near your TV.
Yes.
Well,
no,
then do you move your
no, we have 100 feet of cable.
Or you have a 60-foot cable like we
no,
got.
We have 100 feet of cable that go from that goes from the middle, the hallway office, and we unwind it with one of those, like, you know, it looks like one of those things that you wrap your hose up in the front of your
right.
house. And that's what we get to walk over if we're going to watch the specific Netflix picture that we pick out that night. But, oh, boy, we have a selection.
They're like 12,000.
It's the how-to that you do it. All these ideas are awesome. It's the how-to.
Well, you know, and here's the thing is, that's why we've got, you know, the Belongies have a show on Saturdays called Boomer Tech. That's for us, that's challenged us. Electronically challenged people, you know, a little bit older that didn't grow up with a piece of electronic equipment, a baby computer in their fingers as they were growing up, as they were walking. I mean, these kids are in preschool and kindergarten have got computers in their little classrooms.
Exactly. Well, I consider myself extremely techno. I can do computers. I can program VCRs. I mean, we don't have VCRs anymore. I mean, you know what I mean. I can do all this stuff.
We have a VCR.
The people that aren't, it's very stressful for them. Just this morning, my husband and I were talking, and I said, you know, what happened to the days when you'd go to work, and you'd come home, and you'd have dinner, and you'd sit out in the front porch, and you'd, you know, relax until it was time to go to bed? We have so much techno stuff to do that you can't relax.
You know, I think you're right, Patty. I think that there's a lot of things that we could do to simplify our lives. You know, a few years ago, for me, it was just sell everything I had and move. Every 3 years, but it's a bit harder to do that now.
It would be tempting.
Yeah, it would.
But look at just the voicemails that people have. When I get done with work and I have my voicemail at work that I have to check and the home answering machine and my cell phone voicemail, and then you come home to 25 or 30 emails for work, how do you ever relax? How do any of us ever relax?
Well, okay, that's really interesting because I know with everything that's been going on with, of course, launching a station and books and timing and electronics and then coming home and feeling like I didn't really do my Christmas cards, I have to answer some of the Christmas cards, so on and so forth. You know, the pressures that women feel as far as really being the, you know, the nurturers of the home, there's that kind of pressure. And so I told Carl at a certain time, you know, it's you know, I have to turn off. I'm done. I have to shut down right now. I can't handle one more piece of information. I need to cook. I need to get simple for a moment because it's just too much. But I don't know. Maybe you can call and give us some tips.
I think we should shut the world down for a while. Take a break.
That would be a good idea. Hey, Patty, we have
can we stop the merry-go-round and get off?
Yes.
See, now, I called to cheer Linda up because she was having a bad day.
We have to take a break now, Patty. So thanks for calling Linda up and cheering her up.
Thank you, and we love your show. You guys are doing an awesome job. We're so glad you're here.
Well, thank you so
much. Thanks, Patty.
Bye.
Hey, this is Carl in the Bot on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460.
We have people on the lines. We'll be getting back to you as soon as we...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot, and on the phone, Bad Bob from Vegas.
Morning, Bob.
Well, good morning. Good morning from Vegas. Another beautiful day down here. Well, yesterday was our day to play. We went around and did a couple of things. Went to see the Tournament of Kings last night at the Excalibur, and we went to the aquarium at Mandalay Bay and really enjoyed that. Today we get down to work. We'll be registering for the 2010 Consumer Electronics Show and attending a couple of press events. A lot of buzz this year. One of the hot products that is definitely on everyone's radar, sort of a cross between a netbook, those little bitty computers that you can tote around, and a smartphone. A device is roughly the size of a regular book that can serve as a communications device, but also be your newspaper and reader and things like that. One of the big problems has been, of course, battery life. There are companies now that with newer displays that don't hog up as much battery, and more battery technology that will overcome those problems. So that's one of the hot buzzes. Now, Apple is poised to be a big player in this, but, of course, they have their own convention coming up later in the month, so they're kind of playing it smart. They're going to see what these other companies bring out and then position themselves accordingly. So that'll be one of the areas to watch. The e-books zone is going to be very large and expanded, and of course book publishers are excited about that because it opens up a market and might actually get people reading again, which would be a good thing, I think.
Hey, Bob, we've just been talking before you called about some of the things looking at 2010, how DVDs are on their way out, that, you know, what you're talking about, you know, with Amazon's Kindle, which I guess is what you're talking about as part of it, you know, so people can read via the Internet, can just download to their, like, a book and read it that way.
Yeah, I'm always going to have a fondness for a nice piece of paper that I can, you know, a paper book that I can carry in my hands, and I don't think those are going to vanish anytime soon. I think they'll be harder to come by, not unlike LP records. Interesting article in smartmoney.com where a commentator has indicated that well, on some of the things I agree with, that DVDs are fading rapidly and will go the way of the VHS tape. Blockbuster, in fact, will be closing about 20% of its stores. Its stock is in the tank, and a lot of people are opting for Netflix or movies on demand off their cable provider. Something I don't agree with is that this person says, don't buy a landline, go cell phone. Anybody who lives in a rural area knows better than that. And the until the sound quality improves and the number of dropped calls drops off, I'm not going to get rid of my landline anytime soon.
No, and batteries do go dead, and it's the one thing you can count on if computers are down and all else fails.
Absolutely. So I think they're kind of missing the boat on that. Another comment that this writer made is that instead of using an external hard drive, use one of the online data services to store your stuff up on the Internet. I don't think that's a very good idea on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this is some of the things. Obviously, we're reading the same thing because I was just talking about this. You know, I have an external hard drive that we push everything into and save everything on. I have a problem also with going to a company that I don't know who they are and having them save everything. Yeah, there can be catastrophic failures of your computer, but also you can, if you've got that backup right there, that you can just pick it up and go.
Hey, Bob, we're looking forward to hearing from you tomorrow. I know you'll be on the floor today. You're going to have so much to report to us here, and we've got to take a break, but you and Brenda have a great time. Wow, how exciting. Wish you could tuck us in your pocket and take us with you, but you can call in tomorrow.
I do want to mention one thing real quick. By this time tomorrow, we will have the Boomer Tech Radio Facebook page up and running, and we'll be posting pictures, maybe even some video clips to the page. That'll happen by tomorrow at this time.
Absolutely.
Okay,
fantastic.
Bob. Hey, Bob, I want you to check out, too. I want you to check out these the Google Android.
Got to take a break. This is Carla Lynn Abbott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460.
Welcome back. Yeah. This is girls just want to have fun, okay? I get to bring us in. Thank you very much, Eric. That is just my cup of tea. Bring us in with Dancing Queen.
You said you wanted to be happy. So
I need, give me that stuff. Hey, if anybody out there, 605-4567, have you seen the 3D movie Avatar? Or have you seen it in 3D? We're waiting so that we can see it in 3D. Yesterday I was at the doggy park, and it's amazing the kind of conversations, the cross-cultural conversations that you can have, topical conversations at the doggy park. Amazing. So we were talking about 3D and Avatar and so on and so forth. So just to let you know, ESPN is going to be launching a 3D network in June. And at the first 3D thing they're going to be doing on June 11th is the World Cup soccer match. Can you imagine watching that in 3D at home?
Do you have to wear those little glasses?
I don't know.
Has anybody gone to Avatar and seen the 3D? And if so, do they give you those glasses? They do give you the glasses. I'm getting head nods. So I can remember back in
the 50s. I don't know if it's going to make me feel
back
icky.
Back in the 50s wearing those little glasses and people be throwing like chairs at the screen and... Or here comes a hand, or an arrow comes shooting at you, and you'd scream.
I'm not sure, because sometimes I get motion sickness, so I don't know if it's one of those things that makes your stomach feel a certain way. When you look at a picture and it's 3D and you have to focus, it's almost you focus on it, and then all of a sudden you see it, but you don't see it right away. You've got to go into adjusting your eyes into the dimensions. That's a trip in itself.
There is the...
You don't have to adjust your eyes because you've got X-ray vision.
I don't adjust my eyes. I just let the movie adjust itself to my eyes. This is probably why I miss a lot of things that go on in these movies. But Avatar, you were looking at either Avatar or the one about the football.
Yeah.
Whichever one that is. About the woman that...
What's it called, Eric?
It's called The Blind Side.
Right.
And
the family that adopts the...
Fantastic movie.
Everybody's raving about it!
I wanted to see The Men Who Stare at Goats, and my wife and a couple dragged us to see that, and I sat there, and I cried a couple times, but it is a fantastic story. Go see it.
True story, I understand.
And Sandra Bullock, I guess, is up for an Academy Award on that.
She earned it in that movie. Fantastic.
She's up for...
She produces a lot of her own projects now. That girl goes for it. And
she's married to Jesse James.
I read an article on her. Well, she just does what... Works for her. Love that. But I read an article on her once that she just has this incredible photographic memory where if you just in conversation and say, oh, I just love Chinese pajamas. 6 months later, in the mail, you'll get some Chinese pajamas because she'll be at a flea market or someplace and she'll remember. She makes notes. Can you imagine how many people she runs into every day? I want some of that.
What, you want some soap? Or just be able to remember. How about being able to remember what you had for breakfast?
Having the capacity to multitask and be happy doing it. Currently 44 degrees out. It's partly cloudy today. It's going to reach a high of 58 degrees. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination.
They're having a big Valentine's Day soiree out there at Anselmo Vineyards. If you take a look at... their website, AnselmoVineyards.com. They're still solidifying the details to it, but I think it's going to be a great thing. And they're only going to be able to take like about 150 people. So, but it should be a great time for anybody wanting to go out on Valentine's Day.
Coming up after Fox.
Special.
That's right. Coming up after Fox News. A very special guest.
He's going to be a regular guest. You know, whether he likes it or not, we'll just go to his house and stay there because we can do remotes if we have to. Crawl into his house, through the window. It's Mark Beach.
We don't want to just say very special every time somebody comes in the door, even though we always think when somebody comes to the studio, they're very special guests and we treat them accordingly. But Mark has an incredible history. I mean, he's not just a blogger, folks.
He's just not another pretty face. In fact, we're going to be discussing one of his blogs that I really enjoyed today. And it's one of the things that we mentioned earlier about our city of Reading and another way that Reading can spend the money.
And when we came in this morning, they were talking about it. They were talking about it behind your back, Mark. Good stuff.
Yeah.
See, you got to stir the pot.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's the weather today, my dear?
It's currently 44 degrees, and going to be chances of rain tonight. But if your feet are just hitting the floor, good morning. This is Free Fire Radio. We love being here broadcasting to you at the downtown studios of KCNR here on Market Street.
And our phone numbers here are 605-4567. Our guest in studio, Mark Beecham, blogger extraordinaire. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Thank you very much for having me on, and congratulations on your new venue, your new venture. It's very impressive here.
Well, thank you. It's a perfect studio for radio.
I would say, you know, more voices is good, more competition is good, more local is good, and you've managed to put it all together. And launching a venture like this in the middle of the worst economy in decades is either a stroke of brilliance or a suicide mission, but we'll see how it plays out. And you have to remember that Bill Gates launched Microsoft during a very bad time, and so did Ted Turner. He launched CNN during a recession, so it's a time of opportunity and challenge.
It is, and, you know, who would have thought?
Well, thank you.
Kansas.
We go to bed at night thinking about it and wake up hopeful, and we feel blessed in a lot of ways. There's a lot of hurdles that we have to cross daily, and but you know what? It's stuff like this that gives us energy, having you on, having our guests on, that really breathe a thought process into our community. It's like you know, getting oxygen into the blood.
Well, I've listened to a number of your shows in the weeks you've had the station, and I've been impressed by the number of local guests. I mean, from the sheriff to the police chief to local politicians, candidates for office, and it's terrific to have that. And you have 2 hours, and in those 2 hours, you have enough time, even accounting for commercials, to really try to get into an issue in depth. And we need more of that in this town, and I think our hats are off to you.
Well, thanks, Mark. You know, it's one of the things we're doing is we're trying to fine-tune this all the time. Like, I like to keep our commercials during our show down to no more than, you know, each break to more than, like, you know, 2.5-3 minutes at the most. Get rid of those 4-minute commercials. You know, in some places, people wanted 4-minute commercials so they could run outside and smoke a cigarette. You know, we don't do that. The other thing, too, is that what we're so stoked about is our Saturday lineup. We have local people in doing their shows, and we've had nothing.
Business owners,
but we've had nothing but accolades from everybody about the Saturday shows. Because, you know, these are people that, you know, they talk from anything from real estate to health and wellness, eating correctly, you know, yoga, taking care of seniors, and if taking care of yourself if you're a senior, but also your family's taking care of it. And we've got 2 more shows lined up that we're going to be bringing in on Saturdays. We have people saying they'd love to do some Sunday shows. Well, until we can get Saturday nailed down so that we don't, you know, spend time, we get a phone call and we just look at each other as we run down here to push a button to make sure it's working. So that's going to take a little while. But we're at about 90% of where we want to be technically. And as people say, hey, do you remember where you were 3 weeks ago? And sometimes, you know, we forget that. So when things happen, we're running 24 hours a day. Maybe not everything on it is running 24 hours a day. But all the shows are playing. Sometimes things get kicked out. Sometimes a clock will not move forward. But we appreciate what you say, and we are really enjoying our time being able to be in the community and helping the community.
Our guest today is Mark Beecham. We're taking your call, 605-4567. If you have a question for Mark, we're going to talk about the blog, get down to business when we get back. After this break, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460. Oh, good morning. It is... did you hear that? Good morning, Free Fire Radio here. This
I thought
is,
that was Mark.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Oh, yeah. This is a great morning. And we want to let you know that the degree... Right now, it's 44 degrees out. And it's supposed to be a little rainy tonight, perhaps. It's going to be high at 58. Weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Our special guest today...
Mark Beecham. Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself for people. Most everybody knows who you are, but can you tell us a little bit, you know, of your background? And because, you know, you do a lot of writing for the Record Searchlight and other things, but can you tell us where you were or who you are in your life and what brought you here?
Well, I was raised in Reading. I went to local high schools, went to Shasta College, left for college at UC Berkeley, lived a number of places. I've lived overseas. I was in Japan for a number of years, 5 years in the early 80s as a correspondent. Then in the mid-80s, I went to work for Forbes magazine in Los Angeles. I was their West Coast editor for 3 years. And then I went to work for Hawaiian Electric Company. We can talk about the electric utility business here in a bit, because I think REU could benefit from some of the oversight that Hawaiian Electric got, I'm familiar with. After that, I went to Washington, D.C. I was the spokesman for the NASDAQ stock market for a couple years, and then I managed a group of state securities regulators for 3 years in Washington, D.C. And in 2003, my mother passed away, and there was an estate to settle, and I was kind of tired of life in Washington, D.C., and so decided to move back to Reading. And went to work for the Record Searchlight, which actually started with the Record Searchlight. My first job when I was 17 years old in the newspaper business, I started with a Searchlight. Went back there and covered business for them for a couple of years, and then left almost 3 years ago now to do some freelance writing and some travel. And now I've had a blog with the Searchlight for about 5 years now, and just this month, I'm going to be having a weekly column on the editorial page on Saturdays covering business, politics, and that sort of thing.
Well, I tell you what, you're eminently qualified to do that. And a lot of the blogs, your entries lead, you know, I mean, some of them are humorous, but some of them lead to a lot of thought. And let's just talk about your latest one, about how much money the city of Reading is paying to lobbyists down in Sacramento.
Well, I came across this yesterday. There's a database of lobbying that's being done by California state entities or entities in the state of California, and it's maintained by the Sacramento Bee. And I noticed that Reading was number 13 on the list of over 400 entities in the state of California. And according to the Bee's database, the city of Reading, in the first 9 months of 2009, spent over $400,000 on lobbying efforts, which maybe there's a good explanation for it, and I hope the Searchlight gives Kurt Starman a call and finds out exactly where that money went. But that's $400,000, if that's an accurate number, that is enough to pay the salaries and benefits of 4 policemen, which we desperately need. But maybe there is a benign explanation for it. Maybe the city of Reading is going to get a good return on its investment. We'll see.
Well, $500,000, which is almost $500,000 from the way it looked, it's not just that we were number 13 in the list of entities. We were number 2 in cities. Right. Now, the last time I looked, Reading had a unemployment rate of over 15%, which in reality, anybody that's got any common sense knows it's well over 20. That's not even counting underemployed. We're laying off first responders. We're asking people to take 9% cuts. Well, I should say we're asking everybody to take 9% cuts except county supervisors who have taken a 5% cut. We're asking other people to take all these cuts, and, well, okay, not everybody. You hire up those positions unless they cut. But still, we're the number two city. Now, 90,000, and in this, which is the population of our city, as compared to San Diego, and we pay more for lobbying efforts than San Diego does. There must be something more to this story than that.
Well, I there may be, and I hope that's why the Searchlight will have their city hall reporter check on it, and we can get Kurt Starman on the record to talk about it. But earlier, last hour, you talked about the Tea Party, and what was very impressive about this report in the paper today about last night's meeting was that 450 people showed up on a Monday night in Redding, California, for a meeting. And if we could only harness that kind of enthusiasm and interest, if just a quarter of those people would come on a regular basis to the city council meetings or the Board of Supervisors meetings, we'd all be the better for it. And it's good that the Tea Party folks are energized and they're not just sitting on their couch grousing about things or sitting on the computer bitching and moaning on the comments section of Redding.com. They're actually getting up and getting out and going to meetings. And that's a very positive sign.
Well, you know what I see, Mark, on that is the people that usually are doing the most complaining on the Redding.com page, you know, the commenters, I don't think that not in all cases, of course, but I think probably in the vast majority of them, they don't get off their dust. They don't go out there and join. They poke holes. They say nasty things, but they don't go out and get involved. Not in every case. I know that some of them do. I know them by name. But you're right, to have people stand up on a Monday night, 450 of them, and if 200 of them went to every city hall meeting or every board of supervisors meeting and they're organized to say, we don't like this. Now, you know, it takes a little bit of backbone on our elected officials to stand up and say, well, I don't really care what you're saying. I'm doing what I think is the right thing. Well, we may have a couple of them like that, but I haven't seen too many of them. Hey, we've got to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Mark Beecham. When we come back, we're going to talk about a number of other subjects that Mark is well up on, including the Redding Electric Utility. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest tobacco emporium here in the state of California. Espresso Joe's, best coffee you're ever going to find, Joe and Shelley. There are people of choice. Our guest today is Mark Beecham, and we talked a little bit about how we can spend almost $500,000 on lobbying. There's got to be an explanation to this. We're the second, you know, we pay more than, you know, anybody else in the state except one other city. And I'm sure we'll get an explanation of that from Kurt Starman or Patrick Jones, the mayor. But there's something else, too, we need to get into, and that's the Redding Electric Utility, or as we like to call them, a godlike creature that hovers above all of us, passing down the rays of heat and warmth.
No, seriously, Mark, we were talking about, you have a neighbor who is a World War II vet.
Yeah, my neighbor is a 86-year-old guy, World War II veteran, a Redding native, recently widowed, and he's really struggling, like a lot of seniors in this area are, on fixed incomes, and to keep his utility bill low as possible, he keeps his thermostat during the winter months at 58 degrees. Now, just this month, REU had a 7% rate increase. But if you look at the city's budget documents, you'll see that the utility has got budgeted, planned, a nearly 10% rate increase for next year, a nearly 10% rate increase for the year after that, a nearly 10% increase for the year after that, and following that, a nearly 10%.
So we're talking a 50% increase here over the next 4 years?
More than 50% increase over the next 5 years.
5 years.
What is my neighbor going to be able to do to pay his bill, to keep his home, to keep his body and soul together? In order to pay his bill, he's got to skimp on other things, whether it's food or medicine or not pay his insurance. It's a real burden. My feeling is we've got a city-owned electric utility. Now, there are benefits to that. There are also downsides. The downside that comes to mind immediately is that we have a city council that sits in judgment over the utility's rate requests. The city council are part-time councilors. Their expertise is not electric utility industry. And they are out of their depth, I think. They have been inclined to rubber stamp the requests that the utility has come and made. I think what the city council needs to do is to retain a former electric utility rate analyst who may have worked for the Pacific or the Public Utilities Commission or a like entity. Retain that person, come in, do a complete audit of REU's books, and examine all these rate increases and the justification that the utility is giving for them. We need more oversight of REU. I know the people there work hard, but they have made enormous investments in capital equipment. They built a power plant and infrastructure for Stillwater Business Park, which is essentially probably a speculative investment.
Well, right now they're grazing cattle on it.
They're grazing cattle on Stillwater. We have no takers for that project, which is could cost taxpayers here and across the country as much as $50 to $80 to $100 million, depending on its build-out. But REU, again, what is my neighbor going to do if rates go up by 50%? Can he turn his thermostat down to 48 degrees or turn his furnace off completely?
Turn everything else off except your heater, you know, and during the winter. And our phone lines here are 605-4567. This is a great question. You know, REU, you know, entered into a firestorm last year with this, you know, the idea of throwing people out of their homes if they cannot make their payments. People actually banded together of all persuasions, all political persuasions, and said, you know, there's something wrong that you're throwing a family out or you've got the... You use this where you throw people out of their homes because they cannot pay their electricity bill even if they're trying.
And I point out that that movement, that effort, the genesis of that, happened on Reading.com in the comments section under the article that Scott Mobley wrote, it was last January, I believe, about that city policy. And there was literally 200 or 300 comments that appeared in a matter of hours about that issue, and it all developed. It got organized. People said we need to meet. We need to stage protests. We need to make our feelings known. All that happened. It wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for this virtual community group that exists on Reading.com.
Well, and you know, it gave us when we read that too. Is that it gave us something to jump into. And you know, for our show, and we had the organizers on the show, we had the people, we had REU on the show.
Hey, we got to take a break here. I know we're right in the middle of this great flow. We're going to come back to two. We got two callers on the phone, so hang in there. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're talking with Mark Beecham, REU and electrical rates. This is KCNR 1460.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM. Our guest is Mark Beecham. We're talking about REU. Let's go to the phones.
Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're getting fired up.
Thanks.
You know, it's one thing to read about things that's happening in other parts of the world, but when we start getting into this, it starts gnawing at me.
And talking about a World War II veteran that his rates keep going up. It's just, ugh.
He's living in 50.
Anyway, Gary, good morning, and what's on your mind?
Well, I just was listening to you folks, and well, good morning to you, Linda, Carl, and good morning, Mark. I was just listening to what you were saying, and being a former member of the REU Review Committee, some of the issues that you guys are talking about were sort of near and dear to my heart that we worked so hard earlier this spring on. But I guess the real issue that I'm calling in this morning about is the issue tonight with the Strati property. And I don't have any problem with someone buying the Strati property from the city. In fact, I think it's a good idea the city divest some of the property that they have. But I would certainly like to make sure that the city council, when they sell this property for, I'm assuming, $1.5 million, that $1.5 million is returned to REU because that's a loan from REU. And it would free up $200,000 a year that the city started paying on that loan last year. Even though they bought the property in 04, they started paying. The first payment on it was last year. So I would encourage folks to come to the city council meeting tonight, and even though it's a closed session item, we can get up and speak on it before they go into closed session and talk to them about doing the right thing with the property, because there are a couple of other loans from REU to the city that probably need to be taken care of, like the downtown parking structure, $1 million that has been paying interest only on it all these years, and now the parking structure's fallen down. So I thought I'd call in and just bring those two items up.
Well, let's talk about that committee that the that was put together. Now, the committee was put together because those people were outraged by what was going on by REU, and they wanted action. And what our city council did was a complete lack of, to me, a complete lack of personal bravery and what they should have done. And they appointed a committee to come back. Well, you know, when I saw them do that and we said it the next day, I said, okay, stand by, because this committee is not going to have anything to do for like a week, a month, or 2 months. And 6 months later, they came back with some recommendations, of which the city council took two or three of them, including, you know, put in a hiatus on throwing people out of the of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then, as you know, the first time something happened, they they suspended that. So, you know, this whole thing is it needs to be fixed. And well, the REU is keeping, what, $30 million? Mark, is that $30 million in reserve here?
I believe REU's reserves are around $30 million. Yeah. And a couple of years ago, there was a fellow hired by the Shasta Builders Exchange and the Chamber of Commerce and a couple of other business groups to come to town to look at City Hall's finances. This was in 2005, I believe, 2004, 2005. When the city was apparently rolling in dough. This guy came to town. His name was Stephen Freitas. He was an expert on looking at municipal finances. And he looked at the city's books and looked at the city's liabilities, the pensions, the post-retirement health care benefits. And he said, look, this is unsustainable. I think we need a similar kind of review of REU by an independent third-party expert, not a citizens committee, as hard as they were, but someone who really is familiar with public utility finance and operations, who can look at the entire operation and take apart these rate increase requests and say, look, okay, 90% of this is justifiable, or 70% of it is justifiable, or only 45% of it is justifiable, and then arm the city council with this information so they can ask intelligent questions and push back rather than just use a rubber stamp.
You know, a lot of times
if I could
talk
to you for a second? I think Mark's totally correct in what he's proposing. But I also just wanted, before I get off the line, want to bring up that earlier this year was a possibility that I thought the council was going to move forward on instituting a Reading Electric Utility Commission, such as the one that we had some years ago. And I think in the long run, for helping the council, because they are part-time, and then helping we the people, that a commission would really help in looking at different issues as they come up. And I'm going to go ahead and get off the line now.
Okay.
Thanks much, guys.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Okay.
Let's go to Rob.
Rob, good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, Rob, you're on. You're on KCNR.
Okay.
Good morning, Rob.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. Turn your radio down because you're listening to us delayed.
All right, sorry about that.
That's right.
Hold on just a second. Yeah, I have a couple things. First of all, the commission is just another way to spend more money. You know what, you guys, the people that aren't educated about this sort of stuff, you guys want to spend more money to have people educate you when you should go out and kind of do it yourself. You know, the reason why the rates are going up is because, like, for instance, cap and trade, green energy, you know, that costs the utility money. So if you're forcing this utility, like there's laws going in place where you got to buy so much green energy, that forces the power company to raise their rates, and we're going to have to pay for it. So if you're paying for so much solar power or so much wind power, you're still going to have to buy that coal power, the dirty power that no one wants. So that's kind of on that. Okay.
You know, the thing, though, is in California, supposedly you cannot buy energy from another state that comes from, like a coal plant or, you know, that, because for some reason we have said that is such bad stuff, we're not even going to bring the energy into our state. But you're right, though, is that we are paying for the green power. And when this cap and trade comes in, I don't see that the prices are going to go down for energy.
Exactly. You know what? And they keep on, you know, everyone keeps bringing up REU. But you know what? Their employees, we're the lowest paid in the state. You know, it's getting pretty ridiculous. You know, another thing I don't hear any of you guys talking about is, like, all the mess-ups with the jobs. Like Hilltop, Stillwater, Bocelli. You know, just in Hilltop, there was $1 million in overages that you guys don't go after. You guys don't investigate into this stuff. So, I mean, these people are wanting to spend more money of REU ratepayers. It's not tax dollars. It's rate-paying money. You don't get taxed on this. It's through your rates. So people need to get corrected on that. But you guys are wanting to spend more money on having other firms tell you what to do. And you know what? You already have that. The board, let's go a little bit on the board. The board is a bunch of uneducated people that got voted on because they own a couple small businesses and they get told what to do from the Builders Exchange. You already got some of the top paid people here in the country. You got Paul Hoosier. You had Jim Feider. Those are the people that you need to listen to. You don't need to hire any other people. You got them. So you want to double check it? If you don't trust your people, maybe you should get new people on top. Instead of just wasting more money just because you're upset because your bills are getting raised. Well, maybe you should pay attention to what you guys are voting on, and maybe our rates wouldn't be going up in this liberal state. It's getting pretty ridiculous.
You know, Rob, you're absolutely right. But, you know, we've had Paul Hoosier on before. Paul is an honorable man that works hard. That doesn't mean that, you know, that having somebody else come in with a third set of eyes to look at everything and say, you know what, this is right, but you can change this. You know, that's what, that's why you can bring people in.
How many times are you guys going to keep having people come in just because, you know, the rates are going up or people aren't happy with it? Because then who's paying for that? The ratepayers are paying for that. Just like on top of everything else, all the welfare assistance, all the, oh, gosh, I can keep going on and on.
You know, once we start on who's getting money out of our pocket, we could go on for like 2 or 3 days, huh, Rob?
Yeah, the more money REU makes, the general fund takes. That you talk about where's this money going, well, they borrow against REU and it goes to the general fund. It's not REU, it's a lot of the other departments that aren't self-sufficient. So, I mean...
So I take it, Rob, you are an employee of REU?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about the money being taken from REU and used by the Reading General Fund?
You know what? In some ways it's a good thing, in some ways it's a bad thing. Where it's a bad thing is I'm an educated person. I went to school to become what I am. I'm a lineman. And then when I got other fellow workers that are in this city making $10 more an hour than me, it very much upsets me.
Are they doing the same job?
Yes, I am doing the same job.
So they're making $10 more.
So you know what these people need? You know what the biggest thing that I have a problem with is you got all these welfare bums sitting on their butt, not educated, don't want to get a career, and then they're jealous of what I make or what I do. You know what? That's the problem. It's not just here in Reading. It's this whole entire country.
It's endemic.
It's what we do for everyone else.
Yeah, you know, it's endemic in this country that people want other people to take care of them all the time.
Look at our board. Our board is a joke. You got a guy that owns a gun shop that lived with his daddy for how many years that got offered a business. You got another lady, Missy MacArthur, that we don't want to go there with Red Emerson. And then she's going to try to tell us how to friggin' run our lives and take 20%
of our income. And here's Rob, is they were elected into these spots. And the thing is if they're not doing the job, then they can be turned out. I know that Patrick Jones is running this year. Missy ran last year and was elected. But if people don't like what their elected representatives are doing, at least we get a chance every 4 years to change that. Hey, Rob, we got to take a break. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Our time is up. Stay tuned for our next segment. This is Carla Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. We're taking your call, 605-4567. This is KCNR Cooley News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest today is Mark Beecham. All right, we beat up on REU, and we've had an REU supporter in here talking about really the problem is the city council. I think there's food for thought in both ways there.
Well, I think the problem may be the city council, but it may also be, as the caller suggested, beyond that, it may be the public. The public traditionally hasn't been informed, as informed as it should be, or as involved or as active as it should be. And perhaps that's changing this year with the emergence of the Tea Party and other groups like that, who hopefully this year and going forward will show up in sufficient numbers and with armed with enough information to really affect policy at the city council and at the Board of Supervisors, rather than having the council and the Board of Supervisors just accept the staff reports. Maybe they can hear from some motivated and concerned citizens and factor their feelings into their divorce decision.
This is an election year. You know, you've got the mayor running. You've got a county supervisor, Dave Kehoe, who has never run a post since he first came to his job. I don't know if anybody's going to run against him. But the thing is that he's our representative. If he runs unopposed, at least we should know what he stands for and where he's planning on going in 2010 with all the problems we're having. But you're right, the electorate needs to get involved. Our rate increases for REU from the next 5 years going up 50%. That means now instead of paying that $300 a month you're paying, now you're up to $500 a month, and that becomes a burden. Okay, let's change gears here a little bit. Let's talk about other plans that City Hall has had.
Well, one thing that struck me during the recent debate about the possible purchase of the building across from City Hall for REU, and the Tea Party folks turned up, and they were one factor in the council's decision not to go forward with that project. The one thing that was discussed or mentioned during that debate, which I found rather startling, in the staff report, Kurt Starman's justification for moving REU out of City Hall and into this building across the street, across Cypress Avenue, was so that he could free up more space in City Hall for future city workers once the recovery kicks in. And I thought, my gosh, that's a remarkable statement. And that building was opened, was constructed and opened less than 10 years ago, and it was supposed to meet the needs of City Hall for 50 years, and it was full in 5 years. And now they're talking about making room, moving people who are in there out so they can have room to hire more people. What part of no more does city management not understand? When the recovery comes, and let's hope it comes soon, but when the recovery comes, all the money that it generates, additional money that it generates, should go into cops on the beat and paved streets. No more bureaucrats.
You know, the scary thing is that, we're talking about growing jobs during this time period. The only job growth has been through the government, hiring new people. We talk about car dealerships. You know that in 2008, 600 car dealerships went away. In 2009, from somebody that's in the car industry, told us it was something like 9,000 dealerships.
Across the country.
Across the country went away because of problems in credit, no sales, where they were selling 128 cars, a month. They were selling 8, So these are things that are hitting people clear across the country. So for the bureaucracy to grow, this is where you need the city council to take firm hold of the bureaucracy snake's neck.
You need
to choke it.
You should have more people on the city council who have run businesses, who understand how hard it is for people in this area to make a nickel. This was called Poverty Flat before it was named Reading, and there's still a lot of truth to that. This is basically a poor rural area, and yet you have people at City Hall and in government in general around here who are spending money like it was Atherton, someplace on the San Francisco Peninsula. Like it's, this money's coming from stock options. It's funny money. It's not funny money. It's our money, and it's tough to come by.
Well, it's not only that, but it's when we start thinking about is when people went to work for government. And we pounded on this one, but I heard, you know, I saw what Willie Brown wrote the other day. Now, this is Willie Brown, who was a proponent of big government. And, well, I guess even Mark's got it down in here, too. So let's talk about this a little bit. Willie Brown has said that we have lost control of our state. And I think you've got it. You've even got his words there.
Yeah, right? Willie Brown is a column runs periodically in the San Francisco Chronicle. And on Sunday, he wrote an astonishing piece, which hasn't really been picked up very much. But
you heard it first here.
I can read part of it here. He says, the system, the civil service system he talks about, he says the system was set up so politicians like me couldn't come in and fire the people, relatives, hired by the guy they beat and replace them with their own friends and relatives. He says, over the years, however, the civil service system has changed from one that protects jobs to one that runs the show. The deal used to be that civil servants were paid less than private sector workers in exchange for an understanding that they had job security for life. But again, Willie Brown is writing, Willie Brown, the consummate political insider in Sacramento and the former mayor of San Francisco, he writes, but we politicians, pushed by our friends in labor, gradually increased pay and benefits to private sector levels while keeping the job protection and layering on incredibly generous retirement packages that pay ex-workers almost as much as current workers. Talking about this, Willie Brown says, is politically unpopular and potentially even career suicide for most office holders. But at some point, everyone is going to have to get honest about the fact that 80% of the state, county, and city deficits are due to employee costs. And then he concludes, either we do something about it at the ballot box, or a judge will do something about it in bankruptcy court. And he concludes, and if you think I'm kidding, just look at Vallejo. That's Willie Brown talking in 2010.
When I saw that, when Willie Brown wrote, who was a consummate politician and gaining things for his constituents, this is what we've been hammering on here since we picked up the mantle one more time on Free Fire Radio, is that working for the state, the county, and the city was at one time a way of assuring that you had a retirement, but you accepted less money for that. You know, it gave job security, it gave benefits at the end. And now you've got many of the workers, not all the workers, so I know people calling, I only make this much money. Yeah, that's true. Many of you only make $50,000, but you've got a job, and which looks pretty good to people that don't have a job. But there's many that make much more than that in the city, county, and state, and of course the federal government, and who pays for it, but the people that make less money. There's something wrong here, and then it's going to keep creeping up, it looks like. I don't see it creeping down unless you're really fighting it, and that's why we're seeing the battle between the at this level in the unions and the city and the county government. Carl Lindebaut, Free Fire Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Carl Lindebaut here, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR. Our guest today is Mark Beecham. Oasis Road.
Oasis Road, yes. I think Oasis Road is one of the most obviously misplaced priorities of our city council, which seems to just make a career out of misplacing priorities. They placed a priority on Stillwater for 10 years and have arguably wasted between 30 and 40 or $50 million of taxpayer money. Now they want to develop Oasis Road when we have over 1 million square feet of vacant commercial real estate in this town. And we have got vacant buildings out on Hilltop and Dana, and the prospect of more vacant buildings out on Hilltop and Dana as retailers adjust to a new environment in this country. This is not going to turn around immediately or even in the next 10 or 15 years. And for the city to be spending money and staff time developing Oasis Road is, I believe, a misplaced priority. And one other thing the city council is going to be asked to do this week is approve a sales tax, an additional 1% sales tax, to pay for paving and other infrastructure projects that have been neglected over the last 10 years as a result of misplaced priorities by the city and staff at City Hall. And we need to hold the line on that and make sure that when the recovery happens, when the recovery comes and when that money begins to come back, tax, sales tax money and property tax money, that that money is channeled into things that people expect their tax dollars to pay for, which is police and paved streets.
Well, you know, you can't go wrong with police and paved streets. And, you know, the Stillwater debacle, I still don't understand that. You know, but we just moved here a little while ago, so, but every time I see it, you know, okay, we got to finish the bridge. You know, the bridge is nowhere out in Stillwater.
It wasn't a little while ago.
It was like three years ago.
Well.
Around, that's not that long.
A lot can happen in a
You've got people
year.
Also, there's another group of people that are fighting another proposed big building out in our county here we're going to be talking about at a later date. Hang on for a second. I was just all choked up by listening to everything Mark said, I guess. When I start hearing about taxes being misused, I hear about more things being paid for with our money that have no return on it and are misplaced priorities in this town. It just kind of like, you know, I don't know if I was choking or gagging right then. Hey, Mark, we just got a couple minutes left. We'd love to have you on the show. We want to do this on a regular basis. I know you're writing a column every week, and then, of course, your blogs.
Yeah, the column debuted last week, and I talked, the first column had a couple items in it. One was an interview with our new mayor and how he expects it'll be a tough but not horrible year as mayor, and some of the challenges he faces. And the second item was about Stillwater and the fact that there are no takers yet for it, but the city has finally found a way to milk a little bit of money out of it by using it as grazing land. And our supervisor, Glenn Hawes, I guess, has got some cattle that he hopes to graze on that property. And he's going to pay the city, if the city council agrees to this tonight, he's going to pay the city the princely sum of about $1,750 a year for this. And I hope that's not the only return on the city's and the taxpayers' investment in Stillwater, but we shall see. And the last item that I had in the column on Sunday is something you talked about earlier this week, and that is the notion that we need to all take responsibility with our pocketbooks to help bolster the local economy by, whenever possible, buying locally. And instead of buying a car out of town or buying Christmas presents on Amazon or through other online retailers, try to consciously in this year and in years coming to buy as much as we can locally, support your neighbors, support local jobs. And we have to do that, and we just can't afford to continue to lose jobs and lose the tax base. It's a death spiral, and we can and should vote with our pocketbook to support our neighbors and our local economy.
Absolutely, and we get a chance. We need to have our elected officials, and the first question out of our mouths to them should be, what are you doing to enhance business in our city? What are you doing to increase the tax base in our city?
Think of it kind of like a shell. You know, if you live in a shell, you have a hard surface around you. It's really not protecting you. There's no heart inside a shell. And in order to really have your community, which is the heart of where you live, thrive, you have to put energy, love, commitment, time, shop local, and that's what we're trying to say on some other level. I just thought maybe I'd throw a visual out there.
Well, that was quite the visual there.
Don't be a clam.
Don't be a clam. But everybody that we have in an elected position or even an appointed position, that's the city supervisor, the county supervisors, or the head of their administrative, Kurt Starm and Larry Lees, you ask them, what are you doing to help our community in the business sense?
It's the economy, stupid, to borrow a phrase from James Carville. One last thing, I'll put in a plug for my column on Sunday. I spent about an hour with our police chief, who you had on last week, I believe. And he's really concerned about the local economy, especially as it affects 18 to 25-year-old men, who typically are the problem.
Yeah.
In facing law enforcement. And he is extremely concerned that if this recession doesn't end quickly, there could be a world of hurt in this town and our crime rates could go up dramatically.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got to end up this show. Mark Beecham, thanks so much for being here as our guest. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.